That in ancient times, all kings had at their courts a court fool. And sometimes it probably was true that the fool was a crazy person who had a peculiar capacity for making inappropriate remarks. And there's something about inappropriate remarks that can be very funny. And in this way, of course, the person who could make inappropriate remarks at the right moment can sometimes bring the house down. But actually, as time went on, the function of the fool became more sophisticated than that. And he became a person whose function was not simply to make jokes and to be a funny man, but to remind the monarch of his humanity, so that he would never, never get too stuffy. See, that was in a way the function of the fool. He was reminding you of your finitude, of your mortality, and death at the end, in somewhat the same way as monks used to keep on the desks in their cells a grinning skull. Now then, I try to think whether there is any institution in modern society that really corresponds to the court fool. And there isn't. There is, of course, the political cartoonist, there is the satirist, there is the commentator, but he doesn't sit in the president's office. And the president can ignore him altogether if he so chooses. We don't like nowadays anyone to suggest that our social institutions are not altogether serious. We can't stand it because we're much too insecure. And this is a very dangerous state of affairs. And so it really is high time that in many ways the institution of the fool was reintroduced.
Who is Ian Ellis? People oftentimes ask themselves this, but it's typically a response derived from awkward brushes with two internet trolls who do a show on Podbean with Nick, a man who claims to have been raped by a ghost. Ian Ellis, Chicago open micer and alleged hate fucker. His calling card? Bashing their legs to the point of disfigurement. Ian ends up meeting a disgruntled porch pirate with lightning wit and zero shame, and sparked the beginning of a beautiful and dangerous business. Using brash humor to push an agenda which aims to attack at the core of what comedy is, especially stand-up comedy. How did these seemingly innocuous pranksters worm their way into every imaginable podcast within arm's reach, being mentioned on such shows as Red Bar Radio, and exposing Jim and Sam live on their own show? Fill your Jim and Am basket with popcorn and strap in.
Take your fucking shitty fucking fedora and go eat a dick.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to the offices of Ian Ellis, LLC. Have you always dreamed of being a comedian? Well, I have an opportunity for you. Come on back. Many people dream of being a comedian, but don't like to be bothered with writing material. And that's why Ian Ellis, LLC is perfect for you.
One of Ian's trademark moves is to self-deprecate to the point where the audience is uncomfortable.
Here at Ian Ellis, LLC, you'll be provided with a blue hoodie, glasses, a fedora, 30 extra pounds of weight around the midsection, new material every week, and a baby. We'll give you a fucking baby. Now, a lot of people are asking, how am I going to go viral as Ian Ellis? We have a trademark strategy that we will share with you. First, you find a show, Zay and Z, Jammer Nation, Unbleached, whatever the fuck is on the internet these days. Then, you start mentioning Ian Ellis. The next step is you bring in the management and CEO who will fight for you. From there, you start booking gigs and making cha-ching money.
And it was money they made. Upwards in the hundreds of dollars.
If you're not moving forward and calling these people out, when shit's not getting done, yes, I'm pissed, but goddamn, when are people going to get pissed? When is somebody going to say...
Why are you wearing a sailor's hat?
A prime example of this poetry in motion was early 2018 when the CEO infiltrated a stream hosted by a man LARPing as a seaman in the Navy, calling himself the Admiral, and boasting about his position on gun control. But the poor Admiral didn't stand a chance against CEO's character, Tyrone Buquan.
Why the fuck do you care? Why the fuck do you care I'm wearing a goddamn sailor's hat? What, does that fucking bother you? Is that the fucking conversation? Why I'm wearing a goddamn sailor's cap? Are you telling me why you've been drinking? Calm the fuck down and get off my fucking
chair. You gonna tell me to calm down?
I'm telling you to calm the fuck down. Calm down your shit talking. Don't come at me with anything about my fucking captain's hat, motherfucker.
Steal a hat from a dead sailor. What Medal of Honor winner did you take that from? You take that from some World War II veteran?
Okay, motherfucker, you're so stupid. I got it on goddamn Amazon.
Earlier today,
Joe Booney, an 18-year-old Muslim sportscaster and YouTuber from Canada, was befriended by the Dastardly Duo sometime last year, although the precise date of their first encounter remains a rather large mystery. The corporation enjoys razzing the Toronto Maple Leafs band to the point of acidity.
I had my friend come over, Jamal. I knew him since I was 5 years old. And I can't even describe this. I can't even say it. They called my friend the N-word because not only he was my friend, because he had a different color skin. Are you freaking kidding me? And not only that, they embarrassed me. They embarrassed my mother. Suicides are happening because of this situation. I am devastated. And those nudity pictures, those pornography, whatever, that was disgusting. I can't remember who that was, but that was disgusting.
Their campaign would continue with the vicious trolling of Jiminam, a 40-year-old Asian man who did a podcast with former Howard Stern whackpackers and camgirls.
Yeah, by the way, let's all just be serious. The only reason why Jiminam has that bitch on the fucking air is to get free minutes for her sex shows. You pay her money and then she gives you a Skype show. Like, it's not even a real... She's not even a real hoe. She's too cheap to fucking use like a real streaming company. And then, you know, you have Dante Nero call in trying to offer, you know, representation for that.
Their jocular behavior began to catch the eyes of prominent streamers, not excluding admitted doomer Matthew Stearns from Unbleached.
I mean, I'm straight, but I had a penis in my mouth.
Matthew Stearns, colloquially known as Broke Bar, for his setup resembling a watered-down version of Red Bar Radio and his affinity with the Scars Club, made his bones trolling human sprinkler Saiyan's Rage. An ex-convict turned O&A gossip columnist from Rhode Island known for coining the popular phrase, "You're 40, you're white, you failed at life, stupid."
Use a track phone, you poor piece of shit that your fat girlfriend probably pays.
You got monetized playing Opie and Anthony reposts. You got monetized fucking playing SiriusXM's content, and then you fucking showed up out of nowhere in this laundry room with your fucking cell phone and some USB cable thinking you're a fucking broadcaster, bro. You're not.
After cutting his teeth on a lisping primate, Brokebar turned his sights on Jiminem. But he may have bitten off more than he could chew.
Is this Unbleached?
What's the matter, guys? Everybody upset over here?
Your Mark, channel, bro.
You're waiting for a firefighter to cut a fucking wall, a hole in your wall so you can leave your apartment. Shut up.
I'd love to see your history, you big fat fuck.
Well, I like the show. I really think that you have better potential than talking with retards every night for 7 hours. But hey, you know, somebody's got to do it, right?
So I've seen the messages, like, being gay is cool. I suck penis too. Wasn't there a point about it? They secretly hate you, cocksuckers. You know. Jesus Christ, Naperville, put your tiki torches away.
The group loosely solidified an alliance, a triad, if you will, and were considered somewhat bad boys in this universe. But it wouldn't last long. Later that night, after Jim and Em shut off his stream, he would call into the tail end of Matthew Stern's 12-hour IRL stream under a disguised voice and rant like a lunatic for over an hour, repeating the phrase, "the wrong brother died," in reference to Matthew's brother passing recently.
Appreciate you.
Do you have, like, a schedule or something that you come on, bro? I mean, like,
well, I do a weekly podcast that you could check out, 9 p.m. every week, right here on this channel. And I do sporadic streams throughout the week.
What day, like, during the week that you...
You know what you can do, since YouTube is so fun to use and awesome? There's a bell right next to my subscribe button. You just hit the notifications twice.
Shut up, you dumbass. You're such a fucking idiot, you stupid. You're a dum-dum, aren't
wow,
you?
Wow, listen to Jimmer calling in, pretending to be someone else.
You gotta hang up like a little bitch that you are.
He finally called in.
Hack.
Jim, say it. Say it. Bye forever. Forever. Jimmer. Jimmer, bye forever.
For whatever reason, Jimmer had now forgotten about the corporation altogether, it seems, and had laser focus on Matthew Stearns.
Into a corner. You don't know what I'm capable of. I scare myself sometimes. Because I have nothing to lose. Wake up every morning being bashed in the head from every angle that I possibly can be bashed. That's what I live for. What truly gets me out of the bed to become much more successful and better at my craft are people like you.
Jimmy called his mother and left an objectively distasteful message for the still-grieving Bostonian matriarch. The corporation wasn't done with Jimmy just yet.
Hey, how you doing, honey? What do you think about your shithead son? That loser. The 27-year-old fucking loser named Matthew. What's wrong with him? Can we talk about him? I am sorry for your loss. Died of AIDS, or I don't know the entire story, but Matthew said he had a enlarged heart, and I apologize that the wrong son died. I know every time you look at your son now, Matthew over there, he's a failure, and it's really, really sad. But every time you look at his face, you're like, why didn't this shithead die? Why didn't he fucking die? Why did my great... I don't know. I wanted to just send my condolences to you. You know, he just passed away this year, I guess. Or last year. I don't know. Honestly, I don't give a fuck. But your son is in the basement. Selling his clothes. Designer clothes to make rent. Go force him to get a real job. Not doing a good job.
An evil and twisted side of Jim and Em would emerge after this encounter that even his staunch supporters would take umbrage with. His metamorphosis into the Yellow Mamba would not be complete until after streaming the Unbleached program with a picture of Matt's brother and what appeared to be a funeral procession with such titles as Rotten Hell crawling across the screen. The message was clear.
Are you black? I'm actually at work. I'm, you know, I work at Verizon, but I'm just at work right now.
calling into a show engineered by Jim and Am and hosted by cam girl Jessica Jade, the CEO LARPed as elephant tusk earring aficionado Dante Nero, convincing the Shang Tsung impersonator that he indeed was the part-time Verizon slash full-time pimp and alleged grave robber. He was able to conduct a saucy interview with the beautiful Jade.
Does he not sound like Tracy Morgan?
Wow, that's what we
said. This is Dante Nero. I'm a comedian. I also do a podcast called The Beige Phillips Show.
Yeah, nobody heard of that, and he's not a comedian. Yeah, I could do a Dante Nero. How's my Dante Nero red bar? Hey, red bar, how's my Dante Nero? You jealous? Huh? You fucking stupid.
Red bar picked up on this somehow and watched the entire segment on his show, making strong critiques about the content and the fact that Jim and Am had been fooled by the CEO. This enraged Jim and Am.
Hey, fuck you. I'm red. Fuck this piece of... Oh, I want a piece of shit bald-ass motherfucker. That stupid-ass beard. That stupid-ass tattoo. You know how many times I've been called a chink and a gook and a jab and a chink and a nip? Fuck you. What an idiot. Hit him. You know what? I'll find out your real name, bitch. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am, you motherfucker. And I'm gonna find out everything about you. You know what? Trust me, I'd break this guy in fucking 10 seconds, like I said. Put me in a fucking ring with this motherfucker. A cage. You know who I am. And once I find out who you are, where does he live? I'm gonna find out where you live, bitch. I'm gonna find out your phone number. I'm gonna find out everything about you. Don't ever speak about me, Red Bar.
And it kind of goes like this. It's kind of 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Talking every telephone, get eaten off the web. Must rip out all the epilogues and the books that we have read. Into the face of every criminal, strapped firmly to a chair. We must stare, we must stare, we must stare. We must take all of the medicines, too expensive now to sell. Set fire to the preacher who is promising us hell. Into the ear of every anarchist that sleeps but doesn't dream. We must sing, we must sing, we must sing. It'll go like this, alright. While my mother waters plants, my father loads his gun. He says death will give us back to God, just like the setting sun. Is returned to the lonesome ocean.